Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. To really bring clarity in how I was thinking about this passage, I'm going to use a real kind of a mother's kind of feel to my outline of my sermon. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't know if that fits mothers, more Clint Eastwood, but I'm going to run with it. It's the way I was thinking through this text this time around as I was thinking about it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So remember that. We've got all three here in John chapter 10. Well, let's talk about the good. You know this passage really well, I believe, or at least the teaching that Jesus is the good shepherd. That's the good. We are sheep and we have a shepherd. A shepherd is someone who is constantly with the sheep. We heard it in the songs that we sang earlier. You heard it there. A shepherd is not here one day and gone the next when priorities change. A shepherd digs in and is with the sheep and has the long best interest of the sheep in mind. It is a long, nurturing, slow, intentional kind of thing that we're hearing here. Our shepherd is with us through the long haul. A couple weeks ago, I was watching National Geographic and a special on emperor penguins. And it kind of reminded me of sheep in some way, very different animals, but I'll get to why I think they're kind of similar in just a second. They're kind of unusual animals, emperor penguins. Maybe you know about this, but the mates, the male and the female, live in a monogamous relationship. They're always together. And when a egg is hatched from the female, it sets off a really unique process that occurs. The egg is hatched right around wintertime, and the female goes out and shops and hangs out with her friends. Actually, the female goes out and collects food and supplies to bring back. But the interesting thing to note is it's the men who stay and incubate that egg and warm it, the male emperor penguins, I should say, they take care of it. And so for a season, the female is away, and the female comes back. And I can just imagine the moment in which the female is trying to figure out who her mate is once again. Can you imagine thousands upon thousands of emperor penguins? Which one is my mate? How do you figure that out? Well, scientists have figured it out. It's through voice recognition. The female comes and shouts out, makes a unique cry and silence, and goes to another section by another iceberg, silence, and goes over to other a group of males and eggs and silence. And then finally the female, with that voice recognition, figures out where her mate is, the male. This is a long, tedious process. It takes a lot of nurturing, a lot of time, just for one little baby emperor penguin to be born. So it is with sheep and their shepherd. A shepherd really takes care of their sheep, and it's a long process, and it's constant. It's always there. Now, I think as these Jews that were there with Jesus in John chapter 10, it says that they didn't believe in Jesus, but I think they must have been startled by Jesus saying that he was the good shepherd. And I think there may have been some comfort there for them to hear this. And I'll tell you why I think that. Jesus reminded them that he was a shepherd on what day is it mentioned there? Did you catch it in the reading? What day was it when Jesus shared this? The festival of dedication. That's an important note in this text. Because the festival of dedication for Jews was a sobering reminder of a time period where they lost their shepherd, where they lost a connection with God. See, about 170 years before Jesus came to earth, the Seleucid Empire, a large grouping of people, came in and knocked the Jews out of Jerusalem, and they put up their own stones and their own furniture in the Holy of Holies and in the sanctuary. By the way, you can read about this in the Apocrypha in the book of Maccabees. It's all recorded. This is very historical. And the Jews felt very isolated, cut off, like they didn't have a shepherd any longer. This is about a time period about 170 BC. When the Jews came back, They got rid of all the stones and all the furniture, and when everything was ready to be started, that's when the start of the Feast of Dedication began, about 164 BC. You're probably more familiar with what it's called today. It's called Hanukkah. But in the Bible, when you see Feast of Dedication, that's where this comes from. A reminder of a time in which they were cut off from God. They had no connection to the temple. So to hear that they would have a good shepherd, I kind of think that must have been a comforting feeling to know that they would never be broken off, that they would have constant connection with Jesus. For some Jews, that must have been a very comforting thing to hear, especially on a holiday that it was sobering how they had been cut off. And friends, that's the good news of Christianity, isn't it? That we have a shepherd. You are constantly watched, not because you mess up, but because your shepherd loves you. Your shepherd is in it for the long haul with you, no matter what you do. Your shepherd knows your voice. Have you ever wondered how God keeps track of you? With all the millions of people that have lived on earth, billions of people, Jesus knows your voice and can pick it out. Just like that emperor penguin and how they come together, males and females. This is the good news. You've heard these sermons before at church many times, I'm sure. So there's the good news. Good Shepherd Sunday. We have a shepherd. We have sheep. Let's transition here. Now let's talk about the bad. And let's be real. The good news is that we have a caring shepherd that's slow, intentional, and wants to be with us. But here's the bad news. We live in a culture today that could care less about long processes, and cares very little about nurturing and slow, intentional movements. Our culture today likes fast results. It likes quick solutions. Amen? Yeah? Here's some examples. We like quick solutions. Do you like reading the news? Yeah? Kind of, yeah. Well, 25 years ago, you'd wait until maybe the next morning to pick up the news and check it out, or maybe even the Sunday paper. That's what we did in our household, and we combed through the paper to get the latest news all the way on Sunday. Maybe news happened on Tuesday, and you read about it on Sunday. Oh no, that doesn't happen today. Today, people don't even get a newspaper. You get the news instantly. You got to have it right on your phone. In fact, when the activity is happening out there, it's getting reported right there on the internet on the spot. Quick results. You got to have it right now. That's the culture we live in. That's the sermon you're getting from today's culture. Here's another one. How about friendship? Do you want a friend? Well, we do. 25 years ago, what would you do when you got a friend? You would seek out a social gathering place, maybe a bowling alley. Bowling used to be pretty popular. They've shown that that's shrunk. Maybe you'd go to church. That's shrunk, social gathering. Maybe you'd seek out a friendship at a bar, maybe a social gathering place. Wally, you're smiling really wide here right now. Today, you want a friend? Don't bother going to a social gathering place. Click a button on the mouse. You've got a friend right there on social media, right there, instantaneous, quick. It's right there. Friends, there are orthodoxies. That means right teaching. There are sermons being preached by today's society, whether you like it or not. And one of the sermons that's being preached closely into your heart is this. Quick solutions, fast results, that's the way it should be. And if anything is a slow nurturing process, it's boring and really should be pushed to the side. That is part of the reason why less people are going to church, unfortunately. Hearing those two messages, one which talks about an intentional caring process with a shepherd, but then hearing another message out there that talks about immediate, fast results that you can just get with the quick snap of the finger, well, it's, which one are you listening to? It can be really attractive to go for those quick, fast solutions. Do you need peace? This has crept into the church. Do you need peace? Why go to church week on and week out and go for months on and months out. I can go to yoga and buy a mat, and I can be a little more peaceful with just a few sessions. I have nothing against yoga, by the way. I'm just pointing out a point. You want wisdom? Well, why go to Bible study and listen to a directed study by someone? Why not just pick and choose from a whole bunch of internet sources, maybe something over here, maybe something over there, and I can put it together all in my own choosing and my own time frame. Studies are showing, more and more are coming out, that people are not against God. Spirituality is actually on the rise in America. Really. Studies show this. Spirituality is on a rise. Just 5 years ago, people would call themselves spiritual but not religious. 22% of people would call themselves that. In 5 years, that number, according to Barna Research, has gone up to 32%. Lots of people designate themselves as spiritual but not religious. But the spirituality that they practice is quick results, fast solutions. So here's the struggle for Christianity today. Our central image, it's number one image in the Bible, of Jesus is of a shepherd. It's the first art painting that we found of Jesus in the ancient world. A shepherd. A slow, nurturing process over lots of time. We live in a culture today that preaches a spirituality that is about fast solutions and quickness in getting somewhere. So we got the good, we got the bad, we got the reality of today. Now it's time for what? The ugly. It's going to turn beautiful, though. The ugly. Quick solutions. The sermon of quick solutions, fast results, is not always what's best for us. A slow process, caring and intentional over a long period amount of time, is actually what's best for us. I was really captivated this week about a man that fits kind of that scenario that chose to shepherd people. He passed away. I didn't really know anything about this man, but I read about his life and it really struck me. His name is Jean Vanier. I don't even know if that's how you say his name. Does anyone know who that person is? Jean Vanier. Okay. He died this last week. He lived in France and he died at about age 88. About 50 years ago, this man who lived right outside of Paris had a passion. He had a passion to help those who are intellectually disabled, those that really couldn't connect, those who had a hard time forming friendships, who were experiencing loneliness, and he wanted to make a difference. And this man, Jean Vanier, had a whole bunch of money and resources to make a difference. He could have chosen a whole bunch of quick solutions. Here's one. He could have given a whole bunch of money and given exposure to this cause. Didn't do that. He could have read a book and written a treatise on how to help those who are intellectually disabled. Didn't do that. You know what he did? This is crazy. Jean Vanier bought a house outside of Paris, and he chose to live with two intellectually disabled people for his entire life. That is crazy. What an ugly process. Can you imagine the mixed messages that happened when they first started living together and how they weren't connecting? But a powerful thing happened. See, for this man Vanier, he all of a sudden became a greater person by just impacting two lives, shepherding two people. And those two people all of a sudden had a friend. He chose to shepherd someone. Intentional, slow, nurturing. You know what? Today there are 10,000 people in the world today that are following his example, Jean Vanier. They have purchased homes and they have chosen intentionally to live with intellectually disabled persons. It has spread. What an incredible story. But isn't that the story of our shepherd, Jesus? Really? Jean Vanier did an amazing thing, but Jesus too, when he came to earth, he had all the resources in the world. And friends, he could have given quick responses. He could give way better responses than, I'm not against yoga. Don't walk away thinking I'm against yoga. If you do yoga, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying here, Jesus could have given a quicker solution, way better than yoga. Anything that we pick up on the web, Jesus could give it. And you know what Jesus did? He chose not to go that route. He chose to be a shepherd, a slow, intentional, caring process for you. And he chose a home to live right next to you, to nurture disciples over 3 years, to get to know them and eat food with them and live with them. And boy, was it an ugly process. They didn't get everything. We don't get everything. We wander and go our different route. Sheep do all sorts of crazy things. So do we. And boy, is it ugly that Jesus died on the cross for us. But do you see the beauty of what Jesus did? Not quick solutions. Not quick fixes. Jesus shepherds us and loves us for the long haul. And he has now launched you to be shepherds to other people in his name. You're not the good shepherd. Don't just receive from the shepherd. You are a shepherd to other people and can care for them. That's where it's going to get ugly for you, though. Because when you shepherd other people, you may get this response. I don't want to hear that advice that you have. I can just go to the internet and find out a message. I don't want to connect like that. Or their messes may become your messes. It's kind of an ugly process. But through time, as we shepherd other people, something beautiful happens. We are changed. And the people that we shepherd are also changed. Isn't this all about what parenting is all about? As a mother this morning, we're celebrating mothers. Mothers, just real quick question here. Is it about the quick fixes that you gave your children and the fast solutions? Did that really help them? What do you think, honestly? Maybe sometimes, not so much. Maybe. Or was it the long haul commitment of digging in and nurturing your children and loving them? Sometimes it's ugly. Is that the way it worked? As a mother? Yeah? And that's why we celebrate. It's a beautiful thing. That's what Jesus is getting at with the shepherding imagery. So we got the good, the bad, and the ugly, but the ugly becomes very beautiful when we shepherd others. Amen.